When the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve, the devil's gonna get him some sweet Christine. Don't gotta use cheap pickup lines like God. He just uses his charm in Gabriel Byrne's bod. Gonna grab him some booby and blow up the joint. Don't bother running, you'll all be destroyed. He'll end all your days and stand there and gloat. He might make you a deal, but don't fuck up the coat. Don't fuck up the coat.
Word.
Good evening, and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten, always getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Hello.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi.
And the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast. Dreadly.
Hail Satan.
Well, we've traded Santa for Satan. They're basically the same person, though, aren't they? But I'm
just waiting for Satan now.
Yeah, Satan. Satan's next. Let's get to know what our hosts have been doing in a little segment I like to call "What You Doing, What You Watching, How You Been," Travis.
I've been pretty good. It has been a quiet couple of weeks as far as like watching a bunch of new stuff or playing a bunch of new stuff. I did my yearly watch of Die Hard, and
you do a yearly watch of Die Hard too?
Yeah.
Also, oh
yeah. I've been doing that since like high school. So you know, it's just a thing.
Wasn't everybody? It's not Christmas until Hans falls off the tower.
One of my exes from my early 20s, he was the first one that ever said that to me. He's like, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And so we watch that every Christmas.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've had the same five favorite Christmas movies pretty much since high school.
Go.
Die Hard, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Scrooged, The Muppet Christmas Carol, and Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Hey, good. I watched enough. Two of those for your show.
Yeah.
For the first time. No, I didn't watch Scrooge for the first time. You get my point. Go on.
Yeah. So I did my Die Hard rewatch. I've been going through also The Pretender as I get on the treadmill and walk. It's a show I've seen enough that I can just kind of put on as background. And, you know, just doing the podcasts, took a little bit of a break from the Highlander, and those were the days for the holidays. And I started playing Ship of Fools, which is a lot of fun. And, I also, fired back up Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines and decided to do another playthrough of that because it has been a long time.
Nice. Does that game work these days? That was a finicky game for a while, like technology-wise.
Yeah, and a lot of that was because it was the Source Engine before Half-Life 2 came out. Like, it was the first game released using the Source Engine, and it was buggy as hell. Because I actually did a review of it back in 2004 for a now-defunct website. So I got a copy of it, and it was super, super buggy, but really fun. It's much more stable now. It's perfectly playable.
Hey, what are you gonna do with your stuffs? You gonna share?
I only watched one thing because of work. It's busy time of the year for work, so I haven't really had much of a life. But the one thing I did watch was Rebel Moon. On Netflix.
Oh, right. The Zack Snyder thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what he was trying to do. I get it. I don't think he pulled it off. I don't think it's bad, but it's not what people want. So.
Never give the people what they want.
Then they'll be satisfied, and who wants that shit?
Well, and plus he's also already talking about there being a director's cut that's longer and R-rated.
And they've already got the release date for part two, so.
He's already planning on doing another cut for part two as well, probably. I don't know. Dude loves cutting.
Not as much as Chucky.
But Chucky does it good.
At some point, I want to get around to watching that, but from everything that I've read, it's just you've seen everything in that movie already in other movies, usually done better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Like, I'm not a Zack Snyder hater. I think he can do okay things, but I don't love his stuff either. It's very, very hit or miss for me. It's usually watchable, but okay. Yeah. Although his Dawn of the Dead remake was really good.
Well, I've decided that anytime that I'm talking to people that I don't like, you know, I'm just gonna say positive things about Zack Snyder because of the one time that I was doing a fake interview with someone who's in one of his movies, and I said I didn't like Dawn of the Dead. I shouldn't have said that, but we'll just walk past that. It's fine. I just didn't like it. Okay. There were good things in it, but I just didn't care for it. But, like, I shouldn't have said it in front of her. So I regret that. But it's fine. She doesn't remember who I am anyway, I'm sure. But
oh, I bet she's listening and she's carving your name in a name-carving device.
No. She did say she would come on this show because the time that I interviewed her, the show didn't exist. And so maybe someday I will have her on the show.
But so when we do really Dawn of the right Dead, she'll be a guest.
She's not in Dawn of the Dead. She was in that Army of the Dead, the last one that he just did. But she really likes Zack Snyder. And
that was a terrible sequel to Dawn of the Dead.
It turned into a weird interview. But anyway, it was supposed to be, so it's fine. Dreadly.
Yeah, that's the effect I have on people.
You believe in Satan, I believe I've heard you say.
Yeah. Satan.
That's not that vegan stuff, right? You mean the actual, like, flames.
I'm pretty sure Satan is not a vegan, no.
But you know there's that stuff. You know what I'm talking about, right? Satan. It's like S-E-I-T-E-N. It's like a substitute.
I don't know. What animal is that from? I don't know.
I think from the soybean or something. I don't know what the fuck's in it. I'm not an expert on things. I just had it one time and it was really good. But I only had it once, so how good was it, really? What you been playing? What?
Ah, well, what have I been playing? I have played and finished Star Ocean First Departure R. That's the full title, I think.
R for remake.
That was fun. Overall, looking forward to playing the next games. This was overall
leaps and bounds better.
Well, good. Because this was good, but I feel like I did like maybe used like 25% of everything that's in this game. Because I didn't feel the need to use all the systems in it. Because, you know, I finished a game. I didn't need it.
It's set up to do multiple runs of the game. Because you get multiple different companions. And certain companions lock out other companions. And
yeah, I noticed that. Because I saw one cat lady at one point, and then I never found her again. And I was like, oh, well. And then I found cat ears that I couldn't equip on anyone. So I figured, well, good. Anyway.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where you have to do certain steps in order to get the companions. Two has that as well, but it's not as hard to get.
Maybe
it's not as hard to miss.
Because this is one of those games from the 90s, right? Originally. And
80s, 90s, like
they, yeah. Yeah, and I feel like they put a lot of things in there because people had like one game to play, so they had all the time to figure things out. But they don't really explain things to you. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to play this game. I'm going to follow the story. We're going to see. And then I ended it, and there was no need to figure everything out.
Yeah. You need to do the private actions a lot.
Yeah, because I saw that. I was like, "Well, what does this do?" And then I did it. I just walked alone in the city, but there was nothing telling me what exactly was the point. And I was like, "Well, fine."
Yeah, two is a little nicer with that.
Ah, well, I'm looking forward to trying that out, especially because I love that engine they made that in. So, yeah. Also, I hope that things get a little more sci-fi-ish. This was sci-fi story stuff, but eventually you play it as a standard RPG. With the small exception that I had a lightsaber at one point. That was fun.
Yeah, two does it a little bit more.
Okay. Another game I've been playing but not streaming is the Scarlet Nexus, which Faye might also know.
I haven't played it, but I know it. Actually, I think I own it, but I haven't played it yet.
I've owned it for a while and always like, should I play it? Shouldn't? And then I just pull the trigger and have having fun with it. One might say I'm in a very RPG-ish state of mind right now.
Nothing wrong with that.
But that game, especially the visual style, the presentation is great. Yeah. Definitely you should check it out. And that's about my games. Things I've been watching is, well, not a lot, because there's been a lot of the same thing. I've watched one movie, strangely enough, I felt like watching Batman. The 1989, I want to say. Yes. With Jack Nicholson as the Joker. And I forget how much they show him without his white makeup. And that face is just horrifying.
Technically, in the world of the movie, that's when he is wearing makeup. With that.
Yes. I know. Yeah, that's I know. But,
which yeah. I do like. I like how they do and, that.
And then after the scary face that is terrifying, then he falls in that vat of acid and no.
What's that other movie Jack. That does that too?
Every Batman movie would.
No. The makeup, like instead of taking it off, they're putting it on. What was the name of that movie? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. Now
that sure there's Dark Man.
Dark Man, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Or any Hollow Man-ish thing where they put a face on.
I feel right. like it was a clown, anything, too.
Anything involving the Invisible Man.
Well, yeah, but this was like, the person was like a clown or something. It'll come to me when I don't need it anymore.
Didn't they do it in It, the remake, at one point? Because she's having a dream thing where... Well, no, he puts could the be. Makeup.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
But Batman 89 still good in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Really
enjoyed
it.
I haven't seen any of the newer ones, so yeah, they're the best. Well,
I feel like I'm going to go through the old ones first and especially when I end up with my favorite Mr. Freeze. That's going to be great.
Yeah, just watch out for that kiss from a rose.
And then there was a TV series where me and Wicked finished Goosebumps, or as she calls it, Boozgums.
So, you know I have a speech issue, right?
But
we all know this. There's a reason why I called my cat Scutterbotch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come here, Scutterbotch. Butterscotch, you know, you get my point. So it was Boosgumps.
Yeah, we finished that. Overall, nice. And can't wait for a second season because they definitely set that up at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was a hardcore, like, there's going to be a second season shit thing.
They didn't even hide it. That was just,
yeah.
Yep. Because we were like, is this the last episode?
Like, yep. either they were that confident or they filmed like two different endings, because that was like, there's no way you got to be coming back or you're going to disappoint everybody. By the way, I love Justin Long and everything.
Oh, yeah. He's great in that.
Yeah. He's in everything now.
Something entirely different. I've been watching a lot of The Boys, which I have been. I'm seeing this for the first time, and I'm loving it.
I knew you would too. It's such a dark, twisted take on superhero, which is basically what I think that they would be like in real life if they existed, because human beings are flawed creatures, and imagine if they had superpowers. Come the fuck on. This is how it would be.
Oh, that's why I say if I had superpowers, I'd be a villain. There's no doubt.
And I just want to point out that one of the most valid psychological tests is to ask somebody, you know, which superpower they would like, and if they pick invisibility, they're a fucking creep. Because there's nothing you could do with being invisible that helps anybody. Except, you know, much like the invisible guy in this one, stand around naked all the time in weird places.
Women's toilets.
Yeah. Well, it's everyone's toilets because they're gender neutral. But still, it's creepy that you're sitting there watching people.
I mean, yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
And speaking of people sitting around, the last show we've started watching is something you might have heard of. It's pretty recent. It's called Cheers.
Where everybody knows your name.
That song is that's one of the best intro songs ever.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And
it just gives you that warm feeling of like nostalgia. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it does that for you too.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
You've never seen it before, but
I've seen some episodes. Don't remember much from it. Do remember the song. So that does get me. And I'm just loving this. It's amazing how a show can be this good in season one. Because usually it needs time to build. Get to know the characters and all that. This just starts off, great. Wow.
Tell them your favorite character.
Who's my favorite character?
You love Coach.
Coach is
the best.
Coach is the best.
Oh my god!
When he just yeah, I can just see him in like stuff like Airplane and all that. His type of comedy is just
he's like, geez, I just don't know. Like, he's just so great. Like, that's just, it's comedy from another time, but it works because it's just like, it's forever comedy. It'll always be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've just got to the hard-hitting romance part of it. So we'll see how.
They didn't wait long for that.
Well, it's the end of the season, beginning of the second season. So they didn't do anything for a whole season, really. And I forgot how violent their fights would get, even though they didn't physically hit each other or nothing, but like, he's just like, I should punch you in the mouth. And I'm like, shit, Jesus Christ.
It was the '80s. It was a different time.
Oh, it was a different time back then. Yeah. It was, good show though.
Yes.
It's one of my favorites. I really wanted to. I want to take him through the entirety of like that, and then Frasier, because I did that like I don't know, 10 years ago or something, because I absolutely adored Frasier, and I had to go back and watch Cheers, because I didn't watch it when I was, you know, young, because it was too... So, yeah. And when I was done watching Cheers, I rewatched Frasier again. So that was my life. It was a very long time of just watching Dr. Frasier Crane be the character. Like, it's an amazing character development that goes through. And now I've just, we finished the first season of the new series, and I don't know what other people feel about it. I think maybe people don't like it because, you know, whatever, but I'm having a good time with it. I love seeing the character. I love a new development. He's back in Boston, so I'm hoping there'll be some guest appearances from Cheers, you know, because a lot of them are still alive, so I would like to see that. But we'll see what happens.
Yep, so listeners, prepare for many, many episodes of us talking about Cheers.
Yeah.
We should do a Cheers podcast.
What? Norm is great. Oh, we should have. Norm. Norm.
Norm!
Norman.
We love it at the moment because it's like every time he comes in and he's like, they're like, Norm. And then Diane's like, Norman. And I always think of like Psycho. Norman, it's your mother.
Norman.
But I think it's about that time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
Well, we did find out that James Wan is working on The Call of Cthulhu.
I've heard of that story.
Yeah, we might be one that some of us know. And it's, he's calling it his dream project. He's been working on it in the background for 5 years. This is a thing that's been, I mean, there's been a lot of attempts to do it, and even a couple, there's a really good black and white silent film. I want to say, is it 08, 09? It's like late 2000s.
Yeah.
And it's a really good version. I quite enjoyed that. I remember seeing that in one of my college classes when I went back to school. But I know for a while, no, I take that back. I thought that Del Toro was going to work on this, but he was working on a different Lovecraft.
Yes,
he wanted the Mountains of Madness. But yeah, I mean, I like James Wan. I'm curious to see what he could do with Call of Cthulhu. So,
I love James Wan.
Maybe. I wonder if he's going to call it the Jump Scare of Cthulhu.
Mick put it into the Conjuring verse.
Yeah.
The Conjuring of Cthulhu. Yeah.
There you go. Uh-huh.
That, because they fit together like that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. But that sounds exciting.
Scream 7 now doesn't have a director.
What the fuck you say?
Christopher Landon has exited the film with the quote, "It was a dream job that turned into a nightmare," which doesn't sound great. So
what he's saying is Freddy Krueger is going to appear in Scream 7.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay.
But yeah, Christopher Landon, who was the director of Happy Death Day and writer director of Happy Death Day to You, Freaky, was going to be the director of Scream 7 and now is not. So I don't know if they're going to try and bring back the directors that did 5 and 6 or if they're just going to go in a completely new direction. We don't know. Obviously director of 1 through 4 isn't coming back. So
that's not funny. That's not funny, Travis. Now a moment of silence for Wes Craven.
They may use AI for it.
Don't you even suggest it.
But I still need to watch Screams 5 and 6. I have not seen either of those. And of course, you know, the internet being what it is, there's divisive opinions over him leaving.
What?
like if the franchise should even keep going or who knows.
It's difficult because, you know, while I wasn't 100% on board with 5 and 6, I kind of felt like, you know, why not go ahead? You know, you're not ruining my childhood or nothing because it has nothing to do with it. I hate people who say that also. But, you know, I was like, go ahead, give it a shot. You know, what's the worst that can happen? But yeah,
I felt the same way when they were going to make Scream 4. I didn't think they needed a Scream 4 because I felt like Scream 3 was
bad.
Scream 3 had become the thing that they were poking fun at in the first Scream. And I didn't love 3. 3 got too convoluted and too kind of snake eating its own tail, but 4 was surprisingly good. And I enjoyed it. So yeah. I should have watched 5 and 6 by now because Scream's 1 and 2, I really, really enjoy. I love both of those a lot. So we'll see. I mean, it's horror and it's a franchise. So they're going to make them until the heat death of the universe, regardless of what we say in one like, form remember, or fashion.
You hadn't seen 4 when we first met or whatever. And mm-hmm. we ended up doing that marathon so that you could watch it. And I was like, oh, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. I'm like, I don't know if I'd lead you down the trail to watch 5 and 6. They're very different. They're very much this more this generation, the Gen Z. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that. There is a lot of stuff that I like about them. But I just don't. I don't know.
It was I'm curious about it. I'm curious about it because I do like taking an idea and interpreting it in different times. Like a modern day, let's say, for instance, the remake of Friday the 13th, I didn't love because I felt like it was a little bit boring, but I like the idea of taking that story or that character and trying to tell it in a different era because movies are always a time capsule of their era that they're from. Mm-hmm. So to take something like Scream, which is very 90s and very Gen X millennial type thing and give it into a new generation and see what can happen with that, I think is interesting. But
yeah, that part of it is because it's like the mother of all legacy sequels. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, that part is very interesting. Like I would have been fine if they just made the fifth one and then like left it there or if it had died after that. The sixth one kind of, I don't know, it's just like it's
at some point I'll see it. But yeah, it's similar to something like Evil Dead, right? Where the Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness are very much Sam Raimi and his little band of merry idiots and the type of movie that they would make and the era with which they were making it in. And then you get the 2013 Evil Dead, which is not the same thing at all, but playing in that same sandbox, just making something very different in there. And I like that idea to see where you could go with it. I think a franchise that shouldn't get remade is something like A Nightmare on Elm Street because so much is tied to that one actor's portrayal of a specific character that isn't – like Jason is – a lot easier to have portrayed by multiple people because one, he always was, but two, he's a large silent character. It's like Michael Myers for the most part could be played by multiple people.
This is exactly what I said on TMS and, the last time I was on. I was like, yeah. You can get anyone to play anyone in a mask, but like if there's personality behind it, you can't, you just can't. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, certain people can do the stuff behind the mask better. Like Kane Hodder, we've talked about before. I know we've had this conversation. What made him so great as Jason was his physicality and the way he would move. He gave a lot of character to Jason in all of that, whereas some of the earlier iterations of him, they were just stunt guys and there wasn't much there. But yeah, like trying to – it would be the way to do it. If you're going to at all. And again, I don't think doing that with somebody like Freddy Krueger is a good idea, but that newer Hellraiser that just came out, by going in such a different visual direction with a character like Pinhead, I think is, while Doug Bradley as Pinhead is iconic, they didn't try to recreate that version at all. They went in a totally different direction. And I think that can work. But the bar is set very high to do that. Like, if you're going to do a Freddy Krueger that isn't Robert Englund, you've got a big hill to climb there.
And yeah, it's just that they never made.
They never attempted that.
Yeah, no, they never did. So it's fine.
we're all the better for it.
And the beauty of something like Scream is that it's not a single character that is continuing on. It's more of the idea of it. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Anybody can do it.
Batman.
I mean, literally from movie to movie, it's a different person anyway. So it's not it's not like it's a Living Dead entity.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I need to watch 5 and 6, and we'll see if 7 ever actually gets made or not. No.
Oh, it will get made.
Dredd will make sure of it. Somehow.
I mean,
I'll talk to my people.
Got Satan on speed dial.
And now for tonight's feature presentation. My head is killing me. Feels like someone tried to punch it right off. That succeeded.
Yeah, that was quite a party.
I mean, I'd say that was the party of the millennium for sure.
I honestly don't remember anything.
Me either.
Same.
But it had to be great, right?
Well, if no one remembers it, of course it was great.
Hey, did anyone hear that?
Maybe Wicked Kitten remembers?
Maybe. Where is she anyways?
I haven't seen her since the party.
No, I think it's coming from the fridge.
Hold on, I'll give her a call.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name.
Wait a minute. The fridge is ringing.
Yeah, I knew I heard something.
Wicked, what are you doing in there?
Meow. Close the door. You're letting the cold out.
Oops. Sorry.
Hey, since when does Wicked have horns?
And why is she red?
Oh, shit.
End of Days is a 1999 action horror film directed by Peter Hyams and Hyams? Whatever. And written by Andrew W. Marlowe. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger in the era that I loved, where they would pair him with comedic partners, you know, everywhere from Red Heat through Junior. This was my favorite, with probably the pinnacle being True Lies with What's-His-Face. That was Tom Arnold. There you go. It also stars the hot as hell Gabriel Byrne, the hilarious Kevin Pollak, Robin Tunney, who we know from The Craft and Empire Records, and Udo Kier, who is in every other movie ever made. Literally. Just open the movie book, point your finger at a movie, and he's probably in it. So let's jump right into three questions. I think maybe I'll give you guys the option so you can pick 1, 2, or 3, and then I'll pick whichever question to ask you. That way it's like randomized. So, Travis, 1, 2, or 3?
Give me 3.
Okay. 3. You're hanging from a broken glass-encrusted window ledge. Do you cling to dear life, but ultimately fall to your death? 2. Let go. My hand hurts too fucking much. Or 3, pull the devil out of the fucking window and climb back in.
I want to say 3, However, I'm fairly certain that the devil wouldn't fall for the, oh, I'll take your hand so that then I can reach past, grab him by the jacket and fling him out the window. I just feel like the devil, like Satan's not going to fall for that one. Right. That just, so
not a second time at least.
Yeah, that's true. No, fool me once, shame on me. So what I'm going to actually do is I'm going to let go, but I'm going to land on the ledge right below me and then dive into that room through the glass.
Okay. So you're going to take the physical challenge. All right. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to roll your D20.
I mean, look, it's either that or I have to do hand-to-hand combat with Miriam Margolyes, and I'm going to lose that battle,
look,
clearly.
If so, you roll over a 13, you live. Anything under that, you're dead.
You got a 15. You did it.
All right, you made it into the window. Well, technically, Faye rolled for you, but you get my point. There you go.
Close enough.
You made it. I love this. I feel like I just turned this into my first D&D like hosting
experience. This is like an ad for a D&D campaign.
Huh? We should. Faye, one or two?
Two.
She's like,
we'll
that
go
was easy.
Backwards, baby.
Two. Okay. If you see a man shatter on the subway, what would you do? Freak the fuck out? Call your therapist? Or, hey, it's New York City. Shit happens.
It's New York City. Shit happens. It probably just happened in my pants, too.
That scene scared the absolute shit out of me. I think I've actually seen this before, but it still scared the shit out of me because I was, that's not what you're expecting. You know what I mean? Like burst into flames. Sure. That happens. Explode. Yeah. Shatter into glasses type pieces. Yes. I made up a word. I was not expecting that, but yes, it's New York City. Trust me. I've seen some weird fucking shit.
Let's roll to see if I shit my pants. That's a 17. I didn't.
Yay, you didn't.
I mean, you rolled to shit your pants. You did.
Well, patrons, let us know.
Okay. Dren?
I'll pick question number 3.
Can you do it? All right. Fine. You're hanging from a broken glass-encrusted window ledge. Do you cling for dear life, but ultimately fall to your death? Let go. My hand fucking hurts. Pull the devil, or 3, pull the devil out of the fucking window and then climb back in.
I shall drop down and land on top of Travis.
And roll your D20.
Great rolls. That's an 18.
I land on Travis.
Killing Travis in the process.
Aww.
Aww.
It happens. Fine.
So you have an opportunity to save his life by, reaching and grabbing
Taking
Travis.
Question 1.
Do you try to save him?
I will.
Okay, this is great risk to yourself. So if you don't roll over a 13, that's my magic number, leave me alone. You both die.
16.
All right, aha. You saved Travis. Jesus Christ.
He has loaded dice.
Why is it
I'm wasting my good rolls
okay,
here.
Whenever I play D&D, I roll 3s and 5s, okay? I'm always last and I always die. Why?
There's your proof.
I believe you. You're like a third party. Yeah. No, this was fun. Thank you.
Give me question number 1.
Why? You didn't want it.
But you made it. You can't waste
it. Okay. A dark, sexy stranger tells you he likes your Satan Rules sweatshirt. What do you say? 1, screw you. 2, thanks, man. How may I serve you? Or scream, demon be gone, and spit in his face.
None of the above. I would sell him my shirt.
Huh? So you're gonna sell your shirt?
Roll the d20. Does that work?
It's a six.
All right, you can't. You're not able to sell your shirt.
No, it's 666. It's fine. That's his number.
No, instead, what happens is you ride off on your skateboard and then get hit by a bus.
Aw. Thank you for playing, though.
I'm way ahead of this, and I don't ride a skateboard because I'm not a skater.
But you do now.
Damn it!
Yeah, sorry. I don't make the rules.
Did anybody else think it was so sexy when he just whispers, "Hey, kid"? I was like, yes. Mm-hmm.
Listen, the three best things about this movie are Gabriel Byrne, Kevin Pollak, and Miriam Margolyes beating the crap out of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
All 5 feet of that little woman just beating the brakes off that dude was an amazing scene. Anything with Kevin Pollak, anything with Gabriel Byrne. Well, 90% of the stuff with Gabriel Byrne.
There's a 10% I hated. All right. I get you.
There was a section there where it's just like, oh, it's bad makeup effect on him and him just standing. The only good part in that was him standing in front of the train when the train runs him over. Because It was just so dumb. But like, yeah, Gabriel Byrne was so good in this.
Man. Yeah. I don't think that I would have been able to resist. One of the questions was going to be, would you be able to resist having sex with the devil? But I couldn't come up with any responses that were in the negative because nobody would say no. Come on.
Well, obviously they didn't. There was a threesome.
A creepy shunting threesome. Like, what the fuck? That was not only was it incestuous, but it was gross.
Kind of a little bit of a society.
Exactly. That's, the shunting. Exactly. Oh my God, that is so gross. Just waiting for someone to turn into a butthole.
It would have been more effective had they had the technology or the budget to do a little bit better with their effects. Because that hurt this movie.
A little bit.
It suffers from the late 90s. We're going to CG stuff and it's not going to be very good.
Agreed.
But they did actually have like a full on puppet for the demon devil creature at the end, and then they barely used it.
Puppet.
Stan Winston designed, and then it was barely in the movie, and they did mostly CG for that part in the church.
They really didn't know what they were doing at that time. It was too much. It was too much of the CGI crap.
I think there was a little bit of a reliance on that. And there was also, from what I've read about this movie, the making of it wasn't very smooth because Arnold and Peter Hyams did not get along very well. And Peter Hyams is somebody who directed one of my favorite movies of all time in Running Scared. I love that movie. He's done some decent stuff, but there was this stretch in the 90s where he was making movies like this and The Relic, and he just decided, who needs light? We don't need to actually see anything in this movie. And so when you watch this movie, it is incredibly dark, and I don't mean tonally. I mean the light is absent. It is not there. And I had the same thing with The Relic,
which was a couple years earlier than this. That might have actually helped a little bit. With the bad graphics? Because you can't see them.
No, see, that's the thing. The graphics were all brightly lit because it was all fire stuff. It was just everything else. Because the scene in the alley where Arnold gets fought by all the Satanists in the rain, that was one of the first things they shot. And he basically just argued with Peter Hyams about, like, you can't see anything that's going on in this. Mm-hmm. To the point where whoever did his editing for this movie stopped working with him after it because it was so hard to edit because of how dark it was.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why he decided to, like, just light everything by candles off camera. I'm not sure.
Nowadays, I feel like they can do really dark movies better and you can see more. But back then, they definitely didn't have whatever it is that allows them to do it now.
Part of it is typically when you're shooting a film, even for a night shot, if you're not, you can do day for night, which is shoot it in the middle of the day and then color grade everything down and do a different, back in the days of film, you would do a different chemical process to convert it to basically looking like night. But the problem with day for night is that usually it's very obvious when you're doing that. The other thing to do is you light it, you overlight your night shot and then bring it down in your post-production, which is harder to do with film because you only get so like you can't add light to film after the fact without it looking like crap. Digital, the way everything shot now is all digital. That's much easier to do because you can add and remove like at the point of when you're working on it as well as after the fact. It's just easier to be able to do. So he's shooting on film and he just had this vision of wanting everything very dark and cinematic looking. And to a point that can work, but he just went so far beyond that it is. There's times in this movie where you're like, I don't know, I can't see what's going on. I guess Arnold's in this scene, but sure. So that hurts it.
I tend to turn the lights down when watching movies anyway because of my eye issues and stuff. So I like that helped a lot, but I couldn't tell you some of the stuff that happened in this movie. I don't know. Partly from memory and partly from the blackness.
Yeah. I mean, that's a part of it. There were things about this I'd forgotten. Like I, for whatever reason, always think Gabriel Byrne doesn't show up until later in the movie. Like for whatever reason in my head, it's always like, yeah, he sort of appears like halfway through and then he's around. No, he's there the whole time. Which is weird. And I also thought Udo Kier lasted longer. I forget how quickly his head gets knocked right off his shoulders. So
that dude really is in everything, by the way. He really, really is.
He's great though. He's like, and in the 90s, man, he was the go-to for like, you need somebody who's kind of weird and gonna play a bad guy maybe, but also weirdly charming. Yeah. Cast Udo Kier. Yeah. It's fine.
I'm going to play a game with him soon because I feel like replaying Command and Conquer. So,
There you go.
See, we all learned something today. But you know what it's time for?
The 13!
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or our favorite things from horror movies. This may change or be adjusted as time goes on and in real time because this is real life. And, you know, we're going to party like it's 1999. No one? Fine. Fine. No one dance. No one sing with me. It's fine. Number one.
Funny because the Batman movie I watched has all the prints.
Oh, God, that's right. Oh my God. Which Batman was the one where we got like burgers from McDonald's or Burger King shaped like bats?
I think that was.
That was probably
Batman
Returns.
And Robin.
Was that Batman and Robin?
Could have been.
I mean, I was a kid, so that makes sense, right? It was either Forever or Batman and Robin, I guess.
Forever.
God.
Because it's the one where he steals the car. The bat car. The Batmobile.
The bat car.
So that one would have been Forever.
I would like to call it the bat car now.
Yeah. Well, it's bat boat, bat wing, bat car.
Number one, kitty cat.
Yep.
Yes.
Not only a cat, but the trope of cat jump scare.
And.
In the fridge.
And.
Yeah. Just chilling in the fridge.
And.
And
what kind of kitty? Come on.
Black cat.
Yes. Which, you know, people always say is unlucky, blah, blah, blah. I love black kitties. Take care of your black kitties.
Yeah. Don't put them in the fridge.
Yeah.
I also just, that scene leading up to it is great. Because Kevin Pollak, like I said, is one of the best things in this movie. Because he's just getting to be Kevin Pollak. And it's just his line right before that, oh, I could eat, to open the fridge.
Yeah.
It's my second favorite line by him in this movie. I'll get to my favorite later.
Yeah. I always love him. He is great. I keep, we watched that, The Marvelous Miss Maisel, and where we started it. And so I turned to Dreadly, and I'm just like, look, it's Moisha. Cause he plays like the dad of the husband in the show. And, but he's like much younger here. He's great. Number two, Volkswagen.
I didn't really
see that. I remember.
I mean,
there were cars on the street, but I didn't notice anything.
It was New York. There was a Volkswagen somewhere in the background.
I'm sure. I mean, we'll just count that.
Probably when Arnold's hanging from a helicopter carrying the character of Thomas Aquinas.
That was the slowest helicopter.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Ever.
That was like the only thing in the movie shot during the day too. So you could actually see what was going on.
It kind of reminded me of that scene from Last Action Hero, you know, where there's also like someone hanging from the helicopter crane thing. The fart guy.
Yep.
I mean, and look, kudos to them for actually doing the stunt, right? Like they hung somebody out of a helicopter harnessed up. So.
Yeah.
But give them credit for that. I wouldn't do that.
No. Number three, scary location, time of the year.
Y2K?
New Year's? Yeah, Y2K.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, there was so many things about, and the computers are going to fail.
Mm-hmm. We got the impending apocalypse as well, technically. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Can I just point out, is this something that I notice more as a non-American, or is that something that not bothers you, but, you know. Whenever something happens, it usually happens in America, like aliens. Oh, America's doomed. Disasters. Oh, America's doomed. And then in this case, well, these dudes prophesized the return of the devil and blah, blah, blah. And oh, it's in the time zone of American city that we're in.
Yep.
Yeah. That was, I love that Arnold's character brings that up.
Yeah,
it's going to happen at this time. Is that Eastern Standard Time? Mm-hmm. And they just wave past it. That was clever.
I like to think that they knew how ridiculous the movie that they were making was as well. The writers and were just like, what the fuck?
They had to know.
Yeah,
right. This movie was pitched as Arnold versus Satan.
Yes,
it is.
Like that was the elevator pitch for this movie.
The elevator pitch for this movie.
I couldn't stop doing the Terminator. Because Satan basically is a T-1000.
He does that. Look, I'm just telling. He
walks through the fire.
If you watch anything with Dreadly, it doesn't matter if it's Arnold or if it's Robert Patrick, he will do that out of nowhere. So we're watching something randomly with Robert Patrick and he's just like, and I'm like, he's like a crossing guard in this movie or something. I forget what he was doing.
Look, the one memory I have is I love Robert Patrick.
It was awesome True Blood. That's what it was.
And I just love him in other things. But I remember watching a movie. I don't know the title, but he was in it. And it was like some kind of comedy-ish thing. Nothing special. But he's driving a car. And there's people in the back. They're saying something and about him. And the camera just shows his eyes looking in the rearview mirror. And as he looks at them. And at that point in time, they play.
Oh, yes. I was watching that with you. What was that from?
That was so great. It's out of nowhere.
I want to remember that movie. I was watching that with you. And that was in the last month or so or 2 months. That was good.
I don't remember, but I just love that.
That's a great reference, though.
But yeah, it was ridiculous. And also Y2K, just a ridiculous thing that gets to play a background.
We were all there.
But Travis, it really destroyed the world for like a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Until, you know, an actual, you know what? I'm just going to move on. Number four.
I was just going to say Y2K was an actual issue, but they did get a workaround in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks
because, you know, they had multiple years to fix the problem.
Yeah. It's just nice to have drama about it. Because, you know, people are dumb and they don't know what's actually going on.
Yeah. Conspiracy theories and blah, blah, blah.
Hysteria and whatnot. Yeah. Number 4. Meta horror. Fourth wall breaks. Mentioning the title.
I mentioned the meta joke of, you know, Eastern time.
Oh.
That was funny.
Yes.
They also said End of Days at some point.
Six times.
Played again.
Said it 6 times.
I shot him 6 times.
6 times.
He said it 6 times.
They kept saying it. They said it 4 really times grouped. Within a 15-minute span, and I was like, did they write any other words for this movie?
Yeah.
How many times was it that Rod Steiger said it? I forget.
Steiger. I think he said it 2 or 3 times. Of the times that it was set.
Which, by the way, of the ridiculous things in this movie, of which there are many, his explanation of the number of the beast might be my favorite. So oftentimes numbers appear upside down and backwards. So 666 becomes 999, like in 1999, the year of his return. Whoa, hold on. We went from A to Q. There's a lot of steps in between there we missed, mm-hmm. sir.
Well, what you don't know is in dreams, you can't actually see one. That doesn't
exist in dreams. Oh, okay. Well, see, you know.
That's why.
I love that.
Well, I took it as the end of every millennium, but yeah.
That was really stupid in itself because, whatchamacallit, what was it? I read in the trivia that it was a... that back in the time when this would have been, they didn't use numbers like they do now. So technically, it would not have been seen as 666 or 999. And aside from that, his actual number is like 616 or some shit like that. But logic. Let's not apply it.
It is funny because I did just hear who was a biblical scholar on TikTok that I follow. That was talking about the number of the beast.
Yeah.
And it's depending on your translation, it's 616 or it's 616 or 666, but it was a code. It was basically code for Nero, the emperor, was who they were naming. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Also,
and I saw that
Maiden song.
I saw that video. And I think the next day was when you told us what movie we were watching. I'm like, well, look at that.
Well, I know what videos you watch, Travis.
It must be that.
No, it's just...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about some of them, okay? I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. No, as long as it's not on Twitter, I had someone like a nudie picture. And I was just like, this person like this picture. And I'm like... I wish I didn't know that. I didn't need to know that, Twitter. Can you not tell me what people like? It's fine if they do, but now I can't like any boobies because I know someone seeing that. Ruined.
It's okay. I'll share all of them with you.
Oh. Number 5.
Oh, no.
Number 5. Archetype characters. Crazy Ralph from Creepy Clowns, Creepy Kids.
Funny sidekick, Kevin Pollak.
Yes, funny partner. Very good. Anyone else?
Evil priests.
Well, that's...
Yep.
Those are just real. Like, is that still an archetype?
Yeah.
Get it?
At least in this one, while there were the evil priests, like the Pope wasn't. It didn't go all the way up to the Pope being like, we have to kill the girl. The Pope was like, no,
we need to save
you should
life.
Maybe not do that.
In his
also, Mark Margolis says the Pope was awesome. He was great. The funny sidekick, Kevin Pollak. My favorite line of his in the movie is after they go into the hospital room where Father Aquinas, they find him, you know, stapled to the ceiling.
Stapled.
And then... and the whole thing that happens and him waking back up and the guy shooting him and all that. And then as they're walking away and it's just Kevin Pollak, well, it's official. I'm never sleeping again. Mm-hmm. It's just so well delivered because he's just got that perfect sarcastic delivery of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. After the priest stabbed himself into the ceiling.
Yes. I love the cop. The cop is such an idiot.
Maybe he did it himself.
I mean, he was evil, so actually he was lying. But even his story was just stupid. Like,
yeah, it's like, dude, you're not even trying. Come on. Although the scene of Gabriel Byrne going into the ward, I did like the way that whole thing played out.
Yeah.
Where he walks up and he confronts him. And he just says the thing and the guy's just like opens the door and gets out of the way. Like there were moments that were really good. And then there was stuff that was really dumb. So.
Well, yeah. We also have the suicidal hero.
He's
basically trying to kill himself.
Depressed.
Right from the beginning of the movie. Kind depressed of foreshadowing.
I feel like he should have died from that mixed drink breakfast.
I feel like there's a list that you could put next to that sentence.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like picking up the, what was it, day-old pizza that was on the floor?
Well, you mean you don't just throw old pizza and Chinese food into a blender with a cup of coffee and a bunch of Pepto and just mix all that together? And I mean, it's everything a growing boy needs.
Oh, my God.
How do you think Arnold got to the size he is?
It's like, no. Gross.
By actual work and dedication?
No, it's just drinking pizza smoothies.
We also have the mother of the Antichrist to be. Or hell's handmaiden or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
With the cleanest feet ever.
The what? Yeah, with the cleanest bare feet ever.
Like, she's just running New York underground. Clean.
She should have glass shards and bottle caps stuck in her foot. That's it.
Probably.
Her feet were just perfectly beautiful clean. They look better than my feet. I haven't been running anywhere.
That's the problem.
Detective that knows the private security people and then ends up being in on the whole thing. That's not well explained because I assume what they're trying to make me think is that the detective was just part of the Satan cult the whole time. But I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I was kind of confused.
And then she gets brought back to life anyway.
I was kind of confused because it was very confused and not explained very well. But it's all right. I suspended my disbelief to continue on with the movie.
I don't need you, but you could be handy. Revive.
Like, that should have happened before she is that should have been the thing that happened. And then it's, she's working with the devil. Not because she was already trying to get Arnold before that. And it didn't make sense to me. Because nothing had led up to that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Also, Detective Marge, played by the wonderful CCH Pounder.
I love her.
What a great name. She's fantastic.
She's always great. Na, 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 na. Number 6. Pointless Boobies, Weird Wangs, Moonies, Fanny.
Explosive nipple. What?
The whole threesome sex scene.
that was
funny because I said that.
And revealing.
When he came into the Udo Kier's place, and he was like, ooh, your daughter? And I was like, ooh, threesome? And then they cut to a threesome.
They cut directly to that.
Yeah, they made the movie for Dread.
There was also Christine getting done with her workout on a stair climber. And then on her way into the bathroom, just on her way there, taking her shirt off, apparently running a stair climber, not wearing a bra.
Nope. Don't be silly.
I mean
wow. And that was the definition of pointless because she was going to shower, but then in the next scene,
she's in a robe
wearing her. It's like, what?
I mean, I have answers to all your questions. Like, I don't think that she needs a bra for doing that. No offense. That's not offensive if I say that, right? It's okay. That's not, is that offensive? No? Fine, whatever.
I'm sure she'll let us know.
I'm just saying, you know, if me or Faye were on the stair climber, yes, we need some support. And she doesn't know anyone's watching her or coming to attack her.
She didn't see the camera there?
I hate you all. I hate you all.
See, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you know you're going to die. There's a camera there.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Oh, shit. There's a camera right in front of me. Uh-oh.
Guess what? There's a camera everywhere now.
The nipple of the woman in the restaurant.
Explosive nipple. Yeah. Yes.
Explosive tip.
I forgot about that. And again, I've seen this movie once back when it came out, so I've forgotten a lot of things.
Did anybody else...
grab.
Did anybody else feel like that scene was really long for what it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not long enough.
Like,
what?
Just kind of kept going.
I was like, they're going to keep going. Okay.
Hey, what are you doing? That's my woman. Yeah. And?
But keep sitting
right
there.
Right back to it.
I'm just going to keep sitting here and watch you, though. I said.
And I was like, is she going to get up and run? Oh, I guess not.
Oh, never mind.
That's one way to get rid of evidence. Evidence of what? I have no idea.
Yeah, he was just bored, wanted to blow something up. It had been like 10 minutes since he blew something up, so...
Number 7, telling, retelling the legend, or establishing the movie's rules. Church BS?
666 becomes 999, as in 1999.
Blah-de-de-de blah. I'm a priest who knows things. Blah. Also, okay, here we go. So the scene when Arnold's trying to get information from the priest when he first meets him, and then the priest is like, no, you don't believe, you have to leave, get out. And then he walks away from him through a door that he doesn't lock down Correct. To a crazy woman who's having, like, you know, stigmata. And he follows him and he's like, you're not supposed to be. Well, then lock the fucking door. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. No. You found me. Oh,
darn.
I didn't plan this. What fucking shit is that? That was annoying.
He's just not very good at what he's doing.
It's movie magic. You got to be able to tell the story.
Yeah, but he could have picked the lock. You know what I'm saying? Or broken the door. Like
it's a church. Door's open. I did love that they were all in a giant place. Just their computers there, and one possessed woman and
like, priest sure. sitting in the desk. Like you're interrupting my work.
I'm doing the taxes here.
Doing the taxes.
I like that he got down the bottom of those stairs and all the way across the room, and it wasn't until Stigmata Woman reacted to him that anybody said anything about him being there. Like he walked past how many people, and nobody said a word.
They were deep in
like,
the
you're not supposed to be here.
Be there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but just lots of church BS about the coming of the blah-de-de-blah, literally. The coming of Satan.
And good thing he knows the Bible.
Future Monica.
Because he looks like a very religious person.
Think about that for the secondary title of this episode.
Well, and that's something, had they gone more in the route of like, Arnold was a cop and maybe he was very devout and lost his faith after losing his family and played to that more, could have been more interesting instead of him just being the atheist that he was and having the JC initials and
well,
you know,
oh yeah,
you know, again, this movie was only 2 hours long. I mean,
can't be subtle.
Yeah. Number 8.
Also, Jericho Kane. as a character name is the second dumbest name in this movie. Behind only Bobby Chicago.
JC and BC.
They weren't even in Chicago. No.
Look, for whatever reason, Jericho and Kane, like, they sound like very religious names. I feel mm-hmm. like they like they come they up are. In the Bible and stuff. Like, I'm no yeah. Bible expert. I know Kane does. I wasn't sure about Jericho, but I don't, like I said, I don't know much about trigonometry. But I thought that that's so weird. I did not put their names together like that. I mean, Kevin Pollak's name. I did not put his name together like that because he would call him like Bobby or he'd call him Chicago or whatever. And I was just like, yeah, okay. I just hadn't put it together until you just said it.
Bobby Chicago.
Number 8. Number 8. Dance sequence, montage, homage, sequence, flashbacks.
We did get Arnold gearing up. We got the classic go to the armory and gear up with a bunch of shit.
Yes.
With the boss there going, what are you doing?
Yeah, I like the boss put like no effort into stopping him either.
Stop.
But he waits until he's fully geared out. He's putting like grenades on his belt and he's like, what are you doing? That's too late now. I've already got the weapons.
I mean, are you going to stop Arnold?
Fair. Although
Arnold in his heyday.
Technically, we get
This was hardly his heyday.
Technically, we get this is my favorite of his heydays. Okay, maybe the end of it, but still,
the end of his day.
We technically get a flashback of when his family was murdered. It's not a great flashback, but it's not a good memory to go to, if you know what I'm saying. But it's that's not what really, happened.
No. Thanks, that's Satan. Awful.
That is truly, truly awful. It's one thing if, like, you know, like, if his family had been, like, it was an accident or something like that, but the fact that it was because he testified against bad guys that his family got murdered, that he did the right thing, that kind of pushed that
see,
thing of, like,
there again,
yeah.
There again, it's an interesting backstory that we just breeze right past. Mm-hmm. We're just like, no, here's something that could give this character some pathos and like some development and some depth. Ah, screw that. We got, you know, CGI fire to work on.
Fire.
CGI invisible devil to work on.
I did like the invisible devil. I'm just saying.
That wasn't so bad.
It was invisible. How bad could it be?
That was one of the better effects because it's just like a shimmer effect.
Number 9, scary score, spooky soundtrack.
Hell yeah.
It's a rockin' soundtrack, I'll give you that. There's a lot of songs.
A lot of late 90s metal, new metal stuff in there.
Yeah, but the title soundtrack, orchestral music.
Oh.
Love that.
Yeah. It did have good music, I'll give it that, like the score as well. I will give it a good score on that. Give it a good score on the score. Shut up.
Well done.
Number 10. That scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit. The shunting. That's just, it's fucking gross. Like, ew.
Cat!
Please stop mixing your women together.
Thank you. The shattering of the person on the subway.
Yes. I could not handle that if I saw that in real life. Like, I don't know how to describe to you. Like, I realize the more you live, the more things you see, the less you're surprised by stuff, right? And for me, this moment was like something that I hadn't seen exactly the way that I, you know, that it was portrayed or whatever in the movie. And it was a perfect moment of, whoa, that was not what I was expecting to happen. So yes, that did.
Also, the art, as all the CGI was not super great CGI, mm-hmm. but it worked in the way it was a dream kind of ish vision-y thing. So the bad CGI actually made it look good to me. Like it fit.
It made sense.
Yeah. Like it was a little bit ridiculous, but yeah.
It's 'cause she was the only one that saw it.
Also, that dude looked creepy without CGI.
Who? Oh, yeah. Oh,
well. That hair.
He was and he just kept saying like really fucked up shit. So that was that was extra creepy. And it's New York, so that could really happen. And that's actually like real life scary. Like, what is this person doing? And why are they like this?
Yeah, honestly, for me, the scariest part of that whole sequence is everything leading up to him shattering, because he gets right up on her, mm-hmm. and he's just staring at her, and he's got that creepy smile on his face, and he calls her by her name and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
The shattering itself would have looked, if it had looked a little bit better, I think would have been more effective for me. It was fine, but everything leading up to that was what was really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's more like not the effect of it looking good, but just the fact that I was not expecting it. And you know me.
Yeah.
I jump scare more easily than you guys. So shut up. You don't get to judge.
There were several parts in this movie where I was just, I could hear the scream of you from the jump scare.
I did appreciate the one with the heart being pushed down. Punched out.
Oh yes, the jump, the train conductor, yeah. Dude. That was wasn't expecting that one either. That's one way out. And then like immediately like rips him out, so it was like this fast effect.
Yoink.
I liked. Number 11. Someone does stupid shit. Or that was funny.
At all believing Bobby Chicago isn't somehow going to double cross you when he shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah. After you yourself said he was dead.
I thought you burned.
He shot him one time.
Yeah. And that's apparently enough. Let it have been like, no, I don't think so.
No, but it's
because it's the worst. It's the worst heel turn reveal ever. Like, oh, look at that. He's locking the doors. No one could have seen that coming.
Oh, no. But I think what's worse is that the part where he explodes, it's not even a question to me that he died in there. Like, they didn't even make it possible he could have ran out of the way. Like, he's in the middle of the fire. And there's no way. Mm-hmm. That's it. And, like, you see that happen. Why would you?
And that's their own way of.
And even if he did survive, there's no burning on his body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how they cut it, because they actually make him get out of the car. And you're thinking, oh, he's going to walk away just in time. But then they actually cut back to him like twice or something when the fire hits him. Like they make it obvious that he is there in the fire. Like they didn't. They don't even try to hide it for the audience, which is
also they could have. They very well could have just used the exact same shot from The Usual Suspects, because it's literally the same thing happens to him in that movie. He gets blown up. No, I guess in Usual Suspects he gets shot, but it's the same look where it's just like a bright light on him.
Which leads me to something that I thought was a little stupid, but the fact that Satan's urine is of a dark color and is incredibly flammable.
That seemed less stupid and more like, I guess why not? I mean,
no, there you suspend disbelief. That's where you're drawing your suspend disbelief line.
We're dealing with Satan taking over a person's body. Like, it's not that big a stretch at that point.
Flammable stuff.
Does this mean in the beginning of the movie that Satan just peed all over that restaurant first?
Yeah, yeah, he was peeing the whole time out and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, because he could just explode it by going like that, Travis. But he needed to pee for this one. What kind of bullshit is that?
Or he has to grab a boob first for that power.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, boob squeezing. It helps with the explosion.
Boob squeezing or peeing. It's one or the other.
I guess you're
there was no boob to squeeze, so he's got to pee. Exactly.
Oh my god. The stupid theory about the crucified guy, because he's like, well, how did he do the last hand? He took the thing, he threw it up, and then quickly put his hand up. That's my guess.
I will, but the image when they walk into that room and they pull the curtain back and he's just crucified to the ceiling like that, that's a
bleeding
great horror image.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. It's like, it feels straight out of like Seven or something like that, or Saw.
It reminds me of a movie called Mindhunters, which no one probably saw because, well, you know.
I think that came out several years after this, though.
Oh, yeah, probably. It's a 2000-ish thing. Yeah. But that's where I think of when I see an image like that, because the puppeteer in that one does something similar.
Yeah, that's the one with LL Cool J. Right? Val Kilmer?
Oh, is that that one? I think I saw that once and really liked it.
It's like all kinds of
investigator thingies. Rennie Harlan directed it. Yeah.
Training. I like that
Christian
movie
Slater.
Oh, God.
Yes.
We got exploding cars, exploding subways, exploding restaurant. Everything was explodable.
Everything exploded and people could take a lot of damage and be okay. Like the priest, Father Thomas Aquinas, falls, what, at least 15 feet when his jacket snaps? Through the glass of that newsstand, onto the newsstand, hops right up and runs off like nothing.
Newspapers, yeah, they're
soft.
They're great.
Certainly wasn't cut to shreds by the glass that he fell through. Not at all.
Newspapers, they're great. That's my thing.
The man also cut words into himself. Oh,
yeah.
That was later.
Right?
That was
later.
Also, I think he missed that, but he cut out his tongue, right?
Yep. Yes.
But then he was also talking in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
So good on him for being able to do that. But that's overcoming actually my things. Stupid thing with the helicopter scene, which takes ages for him to grab him, by the way. That was the longest run of a roof / grabbing ever. But then once you grab him and you're like, okay, then why would you not move your helicopter back over a roof?
Right. No, you just go down the middle of the
middle
street
of the street and be like, fall.
Well, so they couldn't land on the roof, which is why he was hanging out of the helicopter in the first place. So I don't know, maybe that played into it. Who knows?
Whatever. Yeah, but once you grab him, you like stay over a roof. If you fall, you don't die. But no.
Theoretically.
That he was able to go up and down the line at will.
Oh yeah.
All right. You ready for my biggest, stupidest thing in this movie?
Sure.
They raise Christine from a baby, but didn't tell her anything. They could have raised her in a way where she knew that this was the ultimate thing she was going to do. They could have brainwashed her to know, but instead they raised her like a regular, everyday human girl and who wouldn't want to have sex with the devil. I feel like that is really stupid.
It is, but I wonder if that was because...
Plot.
Well, plot. Oh, no, because I guess her dad is supposed to have died fairly quickly, too. Because, like, the mom was within a couple of years. And then I don't remember when she goes to visit her mom's grave, the dad's grave is right next to it. And I didn't look at the dates close enough. Because what's her name married the dad after the mom died, became the stepmom. So who knows? You're right. It's really dumb.
They could have started it early, I feel like. I would have liked, whatever.
Yeah.
And my personal favorite, and this is what I wrote down at the moment, Arnie solved the mystery. That was my note, because when they're like trying to figure out the thing and they're like, you know, Christine York, the thing when they're like struggling with the puzzle, but he gets it like immediately. It's like the second or third thing that he says. And yeah. It's just like, oh my God, Arnie solved the mystery. We're done. That's it. Movie over. We got this.
At least he was like, was Christ in New York or something? Christ in York.
Yeah.
Or, he's like, oh, it's Christine or Chris.
He's either Chris
like,
or
at
Christine.
Least he's giving a wrong explanation as well. Like, oh yeah, or Chris. I haven't read the script.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Also, what I found funny is the chase after the helicopter scene. Dude runs into the subway thingy. Arnold follows and he has a 50-50 chance. He's looking downstairs or into the alley. So he follows him. Everything goes on, blah, blah, blah. And then after the priest is lying there, Bobby just arrives. Hey, yeah. Hey guys. Just passing by. How
I just happen to be in the neighborhood. Him?
Movie magic.
I forgot to add this in the spooky soundtrack or score or whatever, but there was a lot of like very realistic. Oh, the ripping! You notice the ripping? When Arnie starts to like attack her, there's like three different rips, and like what is he ripping?
Yeah, her dress doesn't change at all.
What the hell is she wearing? it's like rips that many times. There's that, and I love all the Arnie like sounds. Oh, yeah. Like whenever he's like struggling or fighting.
Well, he had to do something so you knew where he was on screen because you can't see him. You just have to it's all sonar. You just have to hear him.
It was great. It was great. Also, the police are useless, as usual.
Well, they're under the control of Satan, so.
Well, yeah. So that's the ultimate useless, in this situation at least. Number 12. Final girl? No. The girl is a MacGuffin. But we have a self-sacrificing hero.
Yeah.
And that's pretty nice.
It's one of the few times Arnie dies in a movie.
Yeah.
That isn't the Terminator.
Still one of the few times. Even if we counted the Terminator. Aw. But not as... Still, I love that it's sadder for me watching him die as a machine than it was for me to watch him die in this. It's kind of like, yep.
Well,
yep.
Because there was more depth to him as the T-800 than there was for Jericho Kane. Like,
he had more depth as a robot.
It's true. And I don't know. To me, it felt like it was an unneeded death.
Oh, yeah. Time was running out. It was
exactly.
Just like, chill. He could apparently control himself enough to stab himself.
To tell her to run. And if she had run away long enough, then the consummation couldn't have happened in time.
So what you're saying is, this is her fault.
She could have also just, like, you know, throw himself on that spear thing, which, by the way, why the hell is that there?
It was part of the statue that broke off.
Yes, but why does a statue have an actual spear?
Well, it was the sword from Michael.
It shouldn't be the real one. But he could have just jumped on there in a non-killing way. Just pin him there, like, with his leg or something, you know?
Yeah, or, you know, could have cut off an ankle or cut his leg or, I don't know. He could have done a bunch of stuff.
And the other thing that was confusing to me is, isn't sacrifice one of the greater sins?
Suicide, you mean?
Suicide, yeah.
Suicide.
But I mean, yes, but it's a self-sacrifice.
So you're killing yourself to save somebody's life.
Yeah.
To all the priests,
so it's a little bit different.
They
had an alternate ending where Arnie gets brought back.
Oh,
and like, test audiences hated it. They didn't like it.
Did they like this one? Well.
Apparently.
I want to be in that audience.
This one, he gets to be with his family again.
That's
his
true.
Wife and daughter were there. That's a happy ending to some people.
Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, he was already willing to die in the beginning of the movie, so we don't actually see it as a real loss because he was probably going to do it at some point. If not by a gun, by whatever the fuck he put in that blender. That's all I'm saying. It would have happened eventually. Number 13. The Savini scale of gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many bad lighting decisions?
I'm going to give it a 5.
No one comes up with anything anymore first. You all used to jump to try to get the number of stabby stabs or, you know, toothpick.
Exploding nipples. There you
go. What?
Exploding nipples.
5 right. Exploding nipples.
Thank you.
Aw, I feel like that should be an even number. Aw.
I mean, I can't go much above. I can give it a 6 because there was some stuff that was okay, but overall it was hurt by some of it. So 6.
Yeah, I'll also give it a 6 and hope Monica it follows. 6, so we have 666. The marketing looked fine. The head, Udo Kier's head being bashed in, also looked dark and fine.
I feel like three of us should have given it a 6, and one of us should have given it a 1. And then three of us should have done handstands.
Yes. So it was 999, as in 1999.
Exactly.
The year of his return.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6, I guess. Why not? What else have I got to lose? I liked a lot of this movie. It was a lot of an Arnie movie, but also like really dark. And I don't just mean in the in the way Travis was talking about earlier. You know, he doesn't do a lot of like dark movies, and I appreciate it. Very few. Mm. And that'll wrap up the 13. Oh, I had a quote, but I don't know if I got it completely, but here's what I wrote down. How about that? I wrote, "With your faith and mine Glock 9mm.
She just said Glock.
I'm pretty sure he said 9mm because I wrote it down while we were watching it. But in any case, it's just one of those like great Arnie lines, you know, the way he can only deliver it. Like just.
They didn't do a whole lot of quippy one-liners that, you know, Arnie likes to do.
I can't.
I could have easily done a "Come with me if you want to live" part in there.
And they didn't.
And they "I'll be back."
Yeah, they didn't.
He didn't even do that.
I thought he did that in every movie.
But like, I don't know what it is, but I like him and stuff.
Yeah.
I can't explain to you why. Maybe it's some sort of weird charisma thing or whatever, but he just makes a movie fun. Like, even this, which...
Oh, Arnie's...
It's not great, but I really liked it for...
No, Arnie's great, always. Like, he... Yeah. Because he knows... He's got a great presence on screen, and he knows... He's just wanting to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And so it works. Like, there's, you know, the Cardinal saying, "We're not afraid to die for our cause." And the line response to that is, "Good, because I'm not afraid to kill you." Like, it's such a ridiculous line, but it works.
Anyone want to try to do the body count?
Well, there were a lot of people in that restaurant.
Sure. Yeah, everyone in that restaurant, first of all. Thomas Aquinas. I don't know if they have it listed somewhere. I guess we could have. There's too many people. Oh,
I'm going to guess 666 people died.
Maybe it was 999.
Right.
Oh, a quick add-on for someone does stupid shit. But if you're going to go assassinate someone, just fucking do it. Don't sit there with a knife over a throat, and instead of slitting it, then just go for a stab.
Oh, yeah. Big dramatic stab.
Oh, God.
Apparently,
that's not going to
work. Arnold kills are 76, and Byrne, or the devil, kills are 67, which is an interesting invert.
Lots of sixes there.
So that's 76 plus 67, which is math.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Brain's too dead.
I'm not going to do it. You, the viewer, can do it and send us pictures of you doing math.
143.
Nice. And now we play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator, Dreadly. Play the clip, Dreadly. Can you guess that movie? Give it a try on Twitter or Blue Sky or Carrier Pigeon, because whatever. And don't forget to tag the show. And if no one guesses it, we'll still post our gift clues. Or maybe we won't. I keep forgetting anyway. So be sure to follow us at Gore Podcast. At Gore Podcast. First person to guess correctly gets a shout out on the next episode. And you can be like Claire, who guessed Silent Night, Deadly Night. Good job, Claire. Good job, Claire. We didn't get any emails, but if you'd like to email the show, you can do that at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. We have a Patreon, and we have a new member. So welcome the Berm, who joins us at the "we have such sights to show you" level of our Patreon. Because we really
do. And boy, do we.
Yeah.
Woo!
So, welcome.
Welcome.
So, if you'd like to be a patron, you can do that by going to patreon.com/gore13. And join one of our many levels that will fit your needs or whatever. We have a website. Check us out at gorepodcast.com. So you can find out all these links that we just talked about and where to find us and all that kind of stuff. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, feel free to leave a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. But until next episode, Travis, where can people find you?
You can find me at any of the social medias as TV's Travis or at tvstravis.com.
Ooh, streamlined. Bay, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Chibi Phelan.
And Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
Well, you need to wait till the millennium is over and then summon me. Or you can just go to thedreadzone.com where you'll find all links to my places where I hang out. Now, where can people find you, Wicked?
You can follow me on Twitter, Twitch, and Blue Sky at WickedKitten13. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight. We seriously have no clips.
Yeah.
That's not even for this movie.
They don't know.
Oh, Jesus. Can you play the scream from last episode? I feel like we need to play that, like, for the next 3 episodes.
All of it?
Yes, all of it.
Okay. See you in a minute.
Just when you think it's over. It's not.
No, he keeps going.